When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 266 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvat.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we catch up on the past few weeks and look forward to Saturday's game in Ann Arbor.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell home in Lincoln or know somebody who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356. Justin, it's good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. So, hey, everybody. It wasn't planned. It just kind of happened. I had some family members with some medical issues over the last month. Justin had family obligations. I know you were out of town for work at one point. We did try to record an episode a couple weeks
that's
ago.
Right. I was driving into the Rockies.
Right.
And the
and it
audio
just didn't work.
Yeah, the audio quality would have been so poor. We have standards to uphold. We decided we'd rather not subject you to terrible sounding audio than put something
well,
out.
Well, I decided I'd rather not edit that garbage. This is going to sound terrible. This is going to take a lot of work to make it sound not terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that work.
It would take a lot of work, and then it probably would have sounded kind of terrible anyway, and then you would have not been happy, and I remember in the early days of our podcast listening to others that would pop up now and then, and if it just had terrible audio quality, I just would never listen again. So
right.
I support you on that.
We pride ourselves in having good enough audio. We know
than average.
Yeah, I mean I don't have like the soundproofing going on. Like I don't have any I'm talking into a Zoom, folks. I'm recording into a Zoom microphone that I bought, oh gosh, we're talking at least a decade ago, if not longer at this point. So
anytime I see footage of people live streaming podcasts, they always have a mic that's probably 10 times more expensive than mine. Maybe not 10, maybe 5 times. But it gets the job done.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were really close to recording right after the Purdue game, but I was at my in-laws' cabin, and so it just didn't seem prudent. It didn't seem like it was going to work. And then what was the deal the next week? Oh, was it the next week when I was traveling for work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then this last week, it was just kind of like, I think I was busy. And it's like we said before the season, when we decided to do it again, it's not the most important thing. And if it's not fun, let's not do it. And that definitely factored into this last week for me. I know you had stuff going on, so it was like, okay.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what? Anyway, so here's my thoughts on the Purdue game.
Okay.
I had this original thought. I have read it once somewhere else since there, but I had the thought before I read it anywhere else. And that is, you know, we threw it all over the place. They couldn't cover it. They ended up, you know, controlling the ball, running it down our throats, and in the end overwhelmed us. And basically they did to us, it was like a inverse of the way a lot of these games have historically been, where we would be a solid sound defense, a solid sound offense, nothing super splashy, but consistent. And we'd play against teams who'd throw it all over the yard, but at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. And so I just thought it was really ironic that we have become that one-dimensional passing attack, at least in that game, one-dimensional passing attack with not a good enough defense to beat Purdue.
Yeah. Yep. They're still my litmus test for is Nebraska back? If we're not beating Purdue, we're not back.
Do you have any other thoughts beyond that for Purdue? Because I'm done.
You know, honestly, looking back, I'm surprised at the score. I'm like, that game was close.
What was the score? I forgot already.
37-43. So not only was it high scoring, but like it was another one of those one score games, man.
Gotta love them.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Frost Effect.
And then we had Illinois. It's crazy, dude. The last time that we had a podcast, or the last time that we recorded an episode, we had just won a game. Wow. Illinois. I mean, they're a good team this year. So
they are leading the West right now.
Yeah. So good for them.
So the most interesting thing about the Illinois game for me is that kind of at the last minute, my wife and I ended up taking our oldest two kids to their first game.
Yeah. How was that?
It was, you know what? It was actually great. It was really fun. I've kind of pushed off other opportunities in the past because my fear has been it's a long game and I want to pay attention to the game and I don't want to just keep my kid happy the whole time. And I took those two to a volleyball game earlier this season for their first volleyball game. And my son asked pretty quickly, is it over? Can we go home? My daughter lasted longer, but she asked it too. And I'll tell you what, neither of them asked me or my wife if we could go home yet.
That's cool.
The whole game. And it worked out where they could see some of their cousins because of the way my family shares tickets with, splits tickets with family. And so that was awesome. The weather was awesome. The game was meh. The first half was good. It was good up until the point when Casey got hurt. And at that point, it ceased to be a competitive game from the offensive standpoint. The defense kept us in it. I mean, the defense did what it needed to do.
Yep.
So, and then after the game, we stood and listened to the band play through their halftime show again. Then we went and ran down the field and they just had a great time. And then walking back to the car, we got to talk to some band members and, my daughter got a picture with a gal who plays sousaphone and
oh cool.
So yeah, it was really wonderful. The weather, we just couldn't have asked for better weather. That's for great. Taking kids.
And for those of you who are not musical, when Justin says sousaphone, in your brain it's the thing that you think is a tuba, okay? All right, we're good. that one was a rough game for me to watch on television. I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of glad that we didn't record last week because after Thompson got hurt, I just kind of checked out, man, as a fan. Like, I knew it was over. Like, it was like, well, there's the game. I actually said that out loud when I saw him, like, holding his hand and, like, trying to do the thing. I was like, that's terrible. This is done. We're done. Ugh. So, and I'm not surprised at all that it's a nerve thing because it was weird because, like, it looked like he made impact on his elbow or, like, somewhere on his arm, but then was feeling his hand. And I remember being confused about it. I was like, I don't think he broke anything. It doesn't look like he broke anything. And sure enough, he must have been having some, I forget what that's called, but, you know, the pins and needles and stuff in his hand probably happening.
It was the weirdest thing because I was looking at him, kind of, I had him in profile, and he just laid or sat there with his legs out in front of him, staring at his hand.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, that's either not a big deal or like maybe really bad. It looked creepy.
Mm-hmm. It didn't look right.
Yeah.
So when he walked off, it was like, yeah, he's probably not coming back. And sure enough.
And Chuba, apparently, as we now know, if we had recorded right away, we wouldn't have known. But we now know that he's actually been injured and hadn't practiced a ton leading up to that game. I feel like, and we could talk more about Minnesota here in a minute, the game, but I do feel like the people are turning on Whipple right now pretty hard.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
his judgment.
We can move on to Minnesota. I mean, that's a decent segue because during the game yesterday, I said out loud, you know, Mickey Joseph may be back next year, but Whipple will not be back next year.
No, I don't think so.
He's gone, man.
He'd ride off into the sunset for one last adventure somewhere else.
You know, yesterday. So I got to go to the game yesterday. It was pretty great. Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
I won the tickets in a raffle.
I remember that.
And I was up in the north end zone, about 66 yards back, which honestly, that's kind of a sweet spot, because sometimes when you're, I mean, obviously nobody wants to be in the nosebleeds up in like the 90th row or something like that, but 60s are pretty good, because I've been closer in the end zone before, like in like the 45s, like I have friends that they had tickets like in the 45th row or like 30, somewhere 30 to 40 row, and that's close enough to the field that you don't have a good perception once they get a little bit further down the field. It's like, I can't tell if that was a 1 yard run or a 6 yard run, you know?
Mm.
But up in the 60s, you can see things well enough to kind of get a good feel for the game and see what's going on a little bit better. So it was fun. I took a good friend, my buddy Danny. Actually, Danny was our score prediction contest winner in 2017. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, it was that Danny. And speaking of Danny and I, to keep things interesting during the game, we compiled a list. So I'm just going to bring this up now. I'm springing this on Justin. He had no clue. So we we had a discussion going into the stadium, because we were hearing the tunnel walk. There's been a lot of talk this year about how maybe it's time for Sirius to go. Have you been hearing that, Justin?
I felt like I heard that before when Frost was new, but I haven't heard it since I'm aware of.
Well, I've been hearing just, you know, mutterings here and there about how it's time to move on to something else.
Okay.
So Danny and I, we tried to come up with our list of the worst possible songs that could replace Sirius. Because, like, that's the fear, is that they're going to replace this song. The Tunnel Walk is going to, like, be replaced with some modern song that, no, like, after a couple years, is going to be like, oh my gosh, why do we have to keep listening to this garbage? Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that Sirius has on any other song, is that we're used to it. You know,
it doesn't feel of the moment. Yeah. It feels like lasting.
Yeah. Like if they pick some like Cardi B song or something, like, can you imagine how terrible that's going to be in a few years? Nobody wants that. Right. So here's our list of songs. Toxic by Britney Spears. That was suggested by Danny because he felt like it was a good summary, or, you know, a good way of wrapping up what we are as a team right now. I thought Muskrat Love would be a hilarious song to have everybody walk out to.
Whose song is that?
I don't even know. It's some like ballad from the 70s.
Oh, I was going to say.
It's terrible.
I don't know that reference.
The McDonald's jingle over and over. And to be clear, not the Justin Timberlake song that has that little riff in it, just the McDonald's jingle on a loop. Also, just a siren, just like a siren the whole way. Danny thought it'd be funny if we played the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song, which I thought was pretty great. And we were trying to come up with like, what's the most dated thing we can think of? And we thought that the song Dirty Little Secret by the All-American Rejects would be like a weirdly dated and like wildly inappropriate song to come out for. And then ultimately I landed on Eat It by Weird Al, just because that song has nothing to do with anything. And also Weird, the Al Yankovic story came out this weekend. So that was on.
Oh, mind. Yeah.
So
yeah. You can see that.
Yeah. You want my quick review?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Should I see it or not?
Yes, absolutely. But let me ask you this. Have you seen The Complete Al?
No.
Okay. I'll let you know my opinion after you've seen Weird, then.
Okay.
So anyway, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. It was so last week I took my kids. This week was the annual get-together with my college buddies who come out from Chicago and the Quad Cities for the game. So they got in kind of late Friday night. And so we got up, did the game, dinner with my family, and just kind of hung out downtown until late last night. And so it feels like the game was not, you know, 30 hours ago, but like 300 hours ago. Mm-hmm. It just feels like ancient history. It was quite the first tale of two halves. How about that?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I even remarked early on Well, towards the end of the first half, I said something about, like, that Ibrahim guy, he was a monster last year, and we're stopping him today. That was no longer the case once the second half started. We could not stop him.
Yeah, it was... they made some changes. I don't know what happened. Sam McEwen had a good observation, which was, like, Mickey and company had a great scheme and a great plan in the first half, and that is, you know, kudos to them. But then once Minnesota was able to adjust...
And put in a different quarterback,
but, you know, make some changes,
mm-hmm.
Then what... I'm butchering the concept, but what was left was the talent and development of Scott Frost, and that's not necessarily on Mickey. Like, Mickey did everything he could, and it worked for a half, but you can't make that last for 60 minutes in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's like old habits die hard. They reverted back to what they knew as players. Yeah,
they. And just I don't have the time of possession in front of me, but we dominated it in the first half, and especially in the first quarter, and that's exactly what you needed to do. So as the defense slowly, I haven't been mad much this season as things have gotten ugly, but I was so mad in the second half because the defense had just done what it needed to do, and the offense had taken care of the defense in the first half.
Yeah.
And they just bail, like, the 6-3 and outs. That's exactly what you can't do. So I don't know if that you lay that at Whipple's feet or what. I mean, Smothers probably should have been in sooner. The guy who I used to sit next to was texting me, like, does Chuba Purdy not know how to step up in the pocket? Mm-hmm. Just kind of a mess.
Yeah. And
I was angry. It took me until, I don't know, I think about dinner time, I was not angry anymore, but I was upset.
I'm looking at the stats here. Would you believe who has the most receiving yards in that game?
They had that one for our team or for the whole game?
For us.
For us, I couldn't even think. I don't know. Trey Palmer?
Marcus Washington.
Oh, well, because he had that one fourth down catch along the sideline. Yeah. Okay.
Two receptions for 63 yards. And between Smothers and Purdy, we only had about 100 yards passing. So, like, two catches accounted for a majority of our passing yards.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and what was Chuba, like, 6 of 16 or something?
Let me take a peek here. I had it a second ago. Where's the box score again? Let's see. Smothers was 5 of 10. Purdy was 6 of 16. So Smothers was 5 of 10 for 80 yards. Purdy was 6 of 16 for 41 yards.
So I don't know what their value is in talking about this game. Let me ask you this question. So we're 3 and 6. We just reacted to a third of the season in pretty rapid succession. What do you want to see from the last quarter of the season?
We just reacted
to a quarter of the season, and we've got a last quarter ahead of us. I don't know that Mickey Joseph's going to be the head coach. It seems like maybe he could be an assistant of some sort. What do you want to see, or what do you hope to see?
Happy? That's my question for this weekend, dude. Like, because, like, let's be honest, we've tried to do the old, we always expect Nebraska to win attitude. This is first time on this podcast I'm going to say it. Like, dude, we're not going to beat Michigan. It's not happening. So what do we want to see this weekend? What would be considered a sign of promise, or, gosh, like, how can this weekend be redeemed is the question that's on my mind.
I mean, someone like Logan Smothers has been a really loyal dude. I'd love to see him be successful. Say what you will about former coaches, current coaches, future coaches, but the players are, this is their, one of their 4 years to play football, college football. And so they're the ones, I mean, you know, the fans are grumbling, but those are the guys that are the most screwed in effect because, the season's lost. It's a lost season, but they're still out there putting their bodies on the line. Casey Thompson's arm's going numb.
Right.
You know, some of them have hopes to get to the NFL, but most of them don't. And I will. Oh, yeah. So a quick comment. Walking around with my buddies after the game, we walked by the locker room doors, and I think my favorite player this year is Chancellor Brewington, in part because his name is awesome, but also because he's like a walk-on senior, I think, transfer. And he for the while, like, all he did that we knew about was blow people up, and now he's become a more regular part of the offense. And I just, I don't know, I think he's an awesome dude. And I saw him surrounded by a bunch of kids signing autographs, and you know, the kids probably didn't, they don't necessarily understand what's going on. My kids don't understand what's going on with the season. So all that to say, like, we got to keep cheering for the players who are trying their hardest, putting their bodies on the line, wanting to have fun. This is their college experience. They're going to be alums for the rest of their life, assuming they graduate. So I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for the players to have fun, to surprise people. And I guess I would like to see Mickey do well, because it's so funny to see people tweeting like it's a horse race. Like, oh, if Mickey does this, he's going to get hired. Oh, Mickey lost it after this week. Like, you morons. That's not how the world works. You're getting Twitter interactions for sure, but beyond that, you're doing nothing of value in saying this stuff. But you know, I think Mickey's going to continue to have a great career, and I'd love it if he could be a part of the staff here. And so I want him to be successful. And so that's kind of, I guess, what I'm looking for in the last quarter. As for the Michigan game specifically, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to not get destroyed.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, yeah, if we could have a similar outcome to Maryland where we're ahead at halftime and then it's not close at the end,
and it falls apart. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If we can keep it competitive for a first half and then something like that. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that's good. That's good, man. And I'm right there with you. I was, you know, talking with Danny yesterday, kind of on our way back to the car, he was kind of talking about how we would, what we talk about on the podcast. And I think it came up with somebody else recently where I just told him, hey man, Justin and I, and this speaks back to something you were saying earlier, we're not going on the message boards and reading all the rumors and following, well, this coach took a private flight to Blair and he must have driven to Lincoln from Blair or what, you know, with something stupid like that. And I think what it boils down to is that, Justin, both you and I, Husker football is not the number one thing in our lives. And right, that's okay. And and so I guess I want to encourage people, if you are getting like too emotionally invested in this coaching search and reading all the rumors and all of the, I mean, what was it? This last week out
Thursday.
Of blue,
Thursday,
everybody
was
like,
day.
There's something's going to happen today. They're going to announce something. Brace yourself. And then nothing happened. It's like, just maybe unplug things, you know, take the earbuds out. I mean, even if it means pressing pause on this podcast, go for a walk, spend some time outside, get some fresh air, read a book, spend time with real human beings in person. It's going to be okay. But I have one thing to say, man.
What's that?
Whoever is our coach next year, we better go to a bowl next year. I want a bowl in year one of whoever our next coach is.
I'm not even going to say that.
I am demanding it.
I'm not even going to say that.
I am demanding
it. Okay. Well, whoever, but next year.
I'm so tired of every year being, oh, one more year, and then we can go to a bowl. That needs to be our baseline. If we can't get a coach to come in and turn this program around to the point that we go to a bowl, what are we doing?
Well, it does. I agree. It needs to be a baseline, but I think we have to climb back up to the baseline next year. And a lot does depend. We talked about this a little bit previously. One of the reasons to not have a total crap 3-game stretch here is because if we're 3-9, I mean, this thing is just going to get gutted. There's going to be nobody left. Even the most loyal people, I don't know. It just seems like if this thing is a total nuclear, you know, hotspot, if this is like Chernobyl, radioactive ground, like there's going to be nobody left. And then the next coach is not going to go to a bowl game next year because they're going to have, they're going to go from Scott Frost's 152-man roster to like 36 guys. And he's going to be like, oh, I don't know if we can two platoon it anymore. So that's something to root for. Mike, I mean, it's just got to be such a big overhaul that I sure hope we get to a bowl ASAP, but I don't know. I would say year two has to be a bowl.
Year one.
Okay.
That's my baseline. We got to bring back the baseline.
Yeah. Well, we got to rebuild the baseline. Next year. I got to hold. Did you see my picture of me with? I texted you with the trophy. The
trophy, yeah.
I got to hold the Bits of Broken Chair trophy, and I say me, but like we've talked to a lot of those people over the last number of years. Man, they've just done such a good job growing that.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed with, and they're a very humble crew. They're not bragging. They're like, oh, we don't know what we're doing, but it's, you know, they keep working at it, and it was really fun to just go over to Muchachos and chat with them for a while.
Yeah, it's like somebody somewhere decided that they wanted to squash that thing, but the fans and the people behind it decided, no. We're gonna turn this into something good that you can't ignore, you know? And, you know, while it may not officially be recognized, it's an important part of the fandom. You know, we're talking about all these different traditions that go back decades. Well, this is one where in 10 years from now, if they're still doing it, I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to be a part of, and especially when the records have been so poor, it's still something to get excited about. And
yep.
Shout out to Vegas Jer for motivating people to give to Team Jack, and I think we might have won the donation competition 2 years in a row now. Nice. And he was a huge part of that both years. So shout out to him. It's cool. Cool to see someone step up and say, if people give, I'll give more.
That's great. You know, the one thing I do have to say, I tweeted something during the game that I actually, in hindsight, I don't think it was very fair. I think it was when, was it Purdy who threw that interception in the fourth quarter?
I can't remember, probably. I don't remember if, I think so.
Okay, well, whenever that interception occurred towards the end of the game there, I tweeted, man, woman, and child, did that put them in the aisles?
Oh, yeah.
To go home. Because
I've tweeted something like that before.
Initially, there were a few people who got up to leave. But overall, that's one thing that I can speak well of Nebraska fans is even at this point in the season, even when pretty much nothing is on the line anymore for Nebraska, that stadium was still relatively full on Saturday. Like at kickoff, the place was full. People were engaged. Halftime, we had that 10-0 lead. People were applauding our players heading into the locker room. People stuck around. And even at the end of the game, there were a couple of moments where some people chose to leave because they thought the game was over. But a vast majority of people stuck around for the whole thing. So kudos to the fans. You guys did your job. Also, speaking of the end of the game, how bonkers was that? This is like the one time in my entire life I can think of, Nebraska got every call that they needed to win the game at the end of the game, and they did nothing with it. They squandered it. But talk about, like, if we won, do you realize how cheated Minnesota fans would feel? There were like two calls that, like, what was it, fourth and inches. They gave them the first down initially and then took it away from Minnesota. Ended up punting it.
From the 36?
On that replay, dude, I'm sorry. He wasn't down. He was rolling over the top of another player. I have no clue why they called that back and said it was short. Yeah. I was shocked. And then I thought that they were going to say that reception that was initially called out of bounds. I thought they were going to say that stood. But
yeah, I did too.
But I guess you could make the argument, he, like, the second that he touched the ball, he had control. Like, there was no bobble, there wasn't anything. So I guess that's what
and
they
said.
And his
foot was on the ground, yeah.
Yep, yep. So those two calls, I mean, if those ended up being the difference in the game and we won, oh, Minnesota fans would be, we wouldn't hear the end of it.
Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah.
Oh, gosh. What else do we need to talk about here? Well, I got SP Plus here. You want me to share that with you?
Sure.
We were 71 overall, 63rd offense, 69 defense, and 101 special teams. I actually... Yeah,
our punts were pretty good this weekend.
I think he averaged over 50 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually tweeted at Bill Connolly recently, like, can you help us understand how special teams works? Because I don't talk about it all the time, and I don't get it. Yeah. Oh. On the special teams front, one of our long snapping friends sent us a message. I don't know if you saw this, or maybe you tweeted at us. Nightmare for long snapper. If you want to get on our Twitter handle and look in the DMs, there's a video. And the long snapper shooting about like a 45 degree angle, and they're going out the back of the end zone. multiple like four.
Let's see here.
Weber State
long snapper had a tough day today. It's about as tough a day as you can have. Let's see here.
It's a 15 second video.
Oh my gosh.
And three of them go out the back of the end zone.
How is that even possible?
The first one flew like 40 yards.
Maybe that's why we got that little bump this week. Is that a D1 school? I don't know.
Weber State? I don't know. I don't think so.
That's funny.
Oh, wow. Man. Also, well, hey. I didn't catch this, but the guy who I sit next to said that on the first PAT, when we were kicking it, you remember the videos going around last week of one of our offensive linemen not moving during PAT block?
Mm-hmm.
The guy standing next to me said that like several defenders like jumped over him.
Really?
I didn't catch that.
Hmm. Well, Justin, I now have an answer to the question of what do I hope to see this weekend?
What do you hope to see?
I want to see our special teams perform well enough to get us in the top 100 on SP Plus.
It's time.
Yep.
Let's see where Michigan is. I'm just scrolling all the way up to the top here. Number 3 overall, 13th offense, 4th defense, 9th special teams. That's just a complete team.
Well,
it's fun to see Alabama lose.
Oh, so glad. So glad. Good. Like,
so good.
It's going to make things interesting in the off season for once. Well, I guess our off season, postseason.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. Looking at ESPN, Nebraska has a 2.9% chance of victory this weekend, according to their FPI. And as of tonight, Sunday night, the spread is 29.
Jeez, oof. I'll have to pull out my worst loss in school history watch and warning tweets. I don't think it comes to that.
I don't think so either.
I think this team is tougher. I think the coaching staff is tougher than... They're just not going to let that happen. But I also think that if Casey Thompson's healthy, it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I also would tend to think that... I don't know, man. I got a little bit more respect for Michigan these days. Maybe it's just because Michigan State makes them look like angels. But,
oh man, that was bizarre.
Yeah. But, I'd like to think that Harbaugh would be merciful and put in backups in the second half if things get out of hand. But who knows? What's the point? What are the optics of any team running up the score on Nebraska in 2022?
I think it'd be pretty good. I don't know.
I think it makes you look like a jerk, if you ask me. But then again, maybe there's a latent bitterness from all the times that Osborne did that to other teams.
Ron Stockton, UNL, who joined Twitter this month, has 5 followers, is tweeting things about Mickey Joseph being gone next week. I wouldn't... What a fool. Ron Stockton. I don't think that's a real person. I shouldn't even amplify it by talking about it on the podcast.
Ron Swenson
Shroomy Shwimmy.
Stockton? Oh, Samsonite. No, it says here. It's Samsonite.
I was way off. That came up earlier. Okay, this is funny. It's not really that funny. But twice this weekend, I was walking with my wife and my friends, and they got, the first time they were kind of behind me in the game, and I thought they were right behind me, and I turned around, we were walking towards the stadium, and they're way back. I was like, what are you guys doing? And these two Minnesota fans who were like right next to me, like looked at me like, what? No. I was like, oh, no, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to my wife. I wouldn't talk to you like that. I wouldn't talk to a stranger like that. Sorry.
That's funny.
And then that was yesterday. And then they're probably morning,
afraid of, like, they were on guard because they thought Husker fans were going to be
crazy Husker fan coming at me.
Yeah.
And then this morning we went for a hike and they were again, like, lagging behind for some reason. And I turned around, I was like, what are you guys doing? Right as some bikers rode between us. And the guy's like, going for a bike ride. I was like, not you.
I almost got ran over by a cyclist in Lincoln yesterday because he said, on your left, when he was literally like about to run me over. I'm like, it doesn't work that way. You need to give people warning. Ugh, I have a bell on my bike. I'm an old man. I got tired of saying on your left to people, so now I just go ring, ring. And it's always very old men who... It must be like the hearing loss thing or something. They just don't move for me. And I'll even say on your left when they don't move and they still don't move. But I'd rather have those people though, because they're predictable. They're not going to move. What I can't stand when I'm on a bike, if I ring my bell, you get right so I can pass you on the left. That's the rules of the road. That I have had so many couples, like, one goes left and one goes right, and I'm like, okay, so am I going to go through the middle here? Like, or which one of you do you want me to run over? Like, what are you doing? So, anyway, cycling problems.
What a world.
If you are running with earbuds in and you can't hear anything, and you get run over by somebody, in my opinion, that's your fault. When I ride my bike with earbuds, I put one earbud in, so I can still hear things from other people. I listen to a podcast on one ear, so I can still hear and know what's going on around me.
Sounds like a plan.
I actually do have, it only works on one set of my sunglasses, though. I have these little Bluetooth, like mini speaker attachments that actually go on the glasses, so that you have, I basically have like two tiny Bluetooth speakers playing near my ears, so I can still hear everything around me, but also listen to a podcast. That's kind of
nice.
Yeah. I think they're made for like moms sitting by the pool reading on a Kindle, but it works on my bike.
Hey, do you have Apple Plus?
I just got it this week because somebody shared a link to a Selena Gomez fan account on Twitter that was tweeting out 2 months free. So I tried
the link. Wait, was it real?
I tried the link and I got 2 months free plus the 7-day trial. So I won't get billed until like January.
So I got to go find Selena.
I'll send you the link.
Please send it. Yeah, because I've watched all the 2022 Best Picture nominees except for Coda, the winner, which is on Apple Plus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, do you have any? Okay, well, I guess you're not watching Apple Plus or shows because you don't have it yet, but.
I did the year free trial last year or during the pandemic so I could watch Ted Lasso.
Is that show good? I've heard so good things about it, but then I looked up, like, one of my things is like I always look up Parents Guide for stuff because I'm like, how bad is this show gonna get, you know? Because like everybody's like, try this show, and then I watch it and like either somebody's head gets cut off or they're having sex in the first 5 seconds. And it's like, what the heck? So is it one of those shows or is it actually good?
No, it's pretty good. Yeah, okay. I liked it. It's very positive. This might make me sound really cynical, but in some ways, part of me is like, this is like too positive.
Oh, really?
Like, dial it back.
Hmm.
Now, people love it for that. It's a little over the top in that regard, but it's a good show.
Okay.
I enjoyed the first season. We lost steam on the second season because my wife and I have a hard time watching shows together because we have a busy life.
Sure. Hey, how's the Monkey Island saga going?
You know, speaking of busy life, like, we haven't sat down and played it for, like, a month.
Okay.
We're in part two, and it's of Monkey Island 2, which is this, you know, it's so expansive.
Oh, yeah.
And I was saying to Mandy,
Island hopping.
Yeah, it's kind of tough because you spend the first half hour just trying to remember what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And then about the time you figure out what you're doing, then you're trying where you were. Now you're trying to figure out what you should do. And it's a little bit unclear what the next step is. And then it's time to go to bed for the kids.
Yeah. You know what's kind of neat about the new game?
What?
I haven't finished it yet. So same thing, busy life, family members having medical stuff. And also, I guess I didn't say this, but I guess since our last episode, I had COVID. So that was
Right now?
No, I had
COVID. Oh, yeah.
Since the last episode, I think that's something that happened that we haven't talked about on the podcast.
Oh, yeah,
that was a whole thing.
That was a factor in not recording. Yeah.
So, basically, since then, I haven't had a chance to play the new game. But I do know this about the new game. If you've been away for, like, a week and you come back and try to play the game, it has, like, a previously on... Just like a TV show. And so... It'll summarize for you what you've been doing, where you are in the story, and what puzzle that you've been working on. If you've been away, you can pick up where you left off without being like, now what the heck was I even trying to do? So I think that was a huge design decision by Ron Gilbert. I think that as he like grows up, quote-unquote, as a game designer, I think he really... tries to minimize like anything that he finds annoying. And he must be one of those guys who's like, I can't stand it when I've been gone from a game forever and I come back and I have no clue what to do. So he made that a feature of the new game. So good on him.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So anyway, previously on Lost. Did you ever watch Lost?
I didn't. I feel like you keep bringing it up.
I think it's worth watching once. I've watched it twice. I think I'm due for a third watch at some point here in the next decade. But
wow.
Yeah.
That committed.
I mean, it's a good show. It's really good. Don't let people telling you the ending ruins it. No, it's one of those, you know, the treasure is the friends you find along the way, right?
Yeah. Right. It's a journey.
Anyway, speaking of folks, the treasure of this podcast are the listeners and friends Twitter that we found along the way. So
absolutely.
So thank you to everybody for checking in on us, making sure we're okay.
I really appreciate that too. So it's very motivating for me when people are like, hey, where are you? We miss you. Like, really? Yeah. You do? Okay, we'll come back.
That's actually why we're doing this. Like,
you like me. You really like me.
8 years ago when we started this podcast, it started with a text from me to Justin saying, Justin, I'm lonely.
Isn't that what Conan's podcast is called? Conan Needs a Friend?
Yeah, something like that. All right. I think we've been there for like the last 10 minutes, man.
Yeah. Well, I never felt like we were forcing the issue, so.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
All right. Hey, go Big Red. And, go Big Red. Let's get to Thanksgiving. Personally, healthy, great, and full of joy.
Sounds good. Hey, right. Thanks again, everybody. We love you.
Yeah, thanks for all who reached out to check on us. It was nice of you.
Bye.
Bye.
The Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.